I'd like to encourage you to turn in your Old Testaments to the book of Lamentations, if you will, please. Lamentations, and we'll be in the second chapter of that particular text. Appreciate everyone's attendance here this evening, and I appreciate very much the fact that that Josh Froggins put together this particular thing. It's very important that we have a heart for evangelism, to share the gospel message to those who are lost. We should be active in doing that. And there have been a number of songs that have been sung on that particular theme, and talking about the importance of sharing that message, of ourselves being workers for the Lord in that regard. I want to speak just a few moments this evening on that particular subject, but approach it from the point of view of motivation. The motivation and why it is that we should be motivated to share that gospel message. And again, that is a multifaceted study, because we could talk about our being motivated by a love for the Lord. We could talk about our motivation being a sense of duty with regard to our service to God. We love Him because He first loved us. But I do want to spend just a few moments emphasizing the need for evangelism because of the despairing state of those who are not in service to the Master. And I know of no better place to go than to the lamentation of the prophet Jeremiah in Lamentations, the second chapter, Lamentations chapter 2. And beginning in verse 11 of the text, I want to read this to you because just how bereft the prophet was, how sad he was concerning the condition of Judah because of her rebellion against God. And it was true in giving Jeremiah the appellation or name, the weeping prophet, that he was an individual who despaired over the state of his people. And so the prophet, beginning in verse 11, going through verse 19, said this: "My eyes fail with tears. My heart is troubled. My bile is poured out on the ground because of the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the children and the infants faint in the streets of the city. They say to their mothers, 'Where is grain and wine?' And they swoon like the wounded in the streets of the city, as their life is poured out in their mother's bosom. How shall I console you? To what shall I liken you, O daughter of Jerusalem? What shall I compare with you that I may comfort you, O virgin daughter of Zion? For your ruin is spread wide as the sea. Who can heal you? Your prophets have seen for you false and deceptive visions. They have not uncovered your iniquity to bring back your captives, but have envisioned for you false prophecies and delusions. All who pass by clap their hands at you. They hiss and shake their heads at the daughter of Jerusalem. Is this the city that is called the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? All your enemies have opened their mouth against you. They hiss and gnash their teeth. They say, 'We have swallowed her up. Surely this is the day that we have waited for. We have found it. We have seen it.' The Lord has purposed," or done, excuse me, "the Lord has done what He purposed. He has fulfilled His word, which He commanded in days of old. He has thrown down and has not pitied. And He has caused an enemy to rejoice over you. He has exalted the horn of your adversaries. Their heart cried out to the Lord, 'O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river day and night. Give yourself no relief. Give your eyes no rest. Arise, cry out in the night at the beginning of the watches. Pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift your hands toward Him for the life of your young children who faint from hunger at the head of every street.'" Now, we could go on and read more of it. In fact, the entirety of the book of Lamentations consists of basically a dirge or lament over the fallen state of Israel. But the description that is given here is of a situation and circumstance that is dire, that is hopeless because God is not with the people of Judah. God is not with them because of the rebellion and their iniquities. They are separated from God in darkness and misery with no hope as a result of what it is that they have done. And I want to emphasize that that same condition exists for the majority of all mankind in our day. Now, I recognize the covenant relationship that God had with Judah. I recognize that he was dealing with his people, and so a full and complete parallel cannot be made with that and with those who are lost in the world. But being lost is being lost. And despair is despair. And reason for despair is reason for despair, despite perhaps differences that may occur with regard to those who may have been in a covenant relationship or those who never have enjoyed a covenant relationship with God. Now, as we contemplate that, we recognize that though the world may very well not be aware of their fallen state and their need for mercy and grace, the fact remains that they are in a sorry state indeed. And we should mourn over that. And we should be motivated to do whatever it is that we can do to save some souls, to bring them out of such a fallen state of despair to a state of standing with God and give them that hope of heaven that we enjoy. We consider all that we have, the privilege, the joy that we have because we are Christians, to think that we would be selfish and not actively seek to share that with those who are bereft of those blessings. It's something that is difficult to contemplate, how anyone would be so selfish with regard to what they have received. In Matthew, the 23rd chapter, Matthew chapter 23, there is a passage of Scripture where Jesus weighs in on this particular matter. Again, on this occasion, he was in a lament over Jerusalem, again for the same reason with regard to rebellion. And in verse 37 of Matthew 23, he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." As a result of that, he said, "See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" So that state of desolation was something that impacted Jesus. And as he went in and among those inhabitants of Jerusalem, and in his ministry of preaching his gospel in Judea, he came across individuals who were lost. Individuals often who, as was the case in Matthew 23, were in a rebellious state, not interested in repentance. His desire was that they might be saved, but he lamented the fact that they were not willing. It may be that we, as we seek to share that gospel message, may run across individuals likewise who are not willing, who are resistant to our efforts to share that message. Jesus longed to save men, and we should long to save them as well. The final passage I want you to look at from the book of Luke, this one in the 15th chapter, Luke chapter 15, and beginning in verse 4. Tax collectors and sinners had come near to him, which led to complaints by the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees, as they said, "This man, having reference to Jesus, he receives sinners and eats with them." And so Jesus spoke a parable to them. And this parable reads as follows, beginning in verse 4 and going through verse 7. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' And I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." So I want you to think for just a few moments about the despair and the lament of Jeremiah the prophet over Judah because of her rebellion, the recognition that they had been separated from God because of their iniquity, that God had visited his chastisement, the captivity was upon them because of their sin. You contrast that with the expressions of joy in this parable because one single soul has come to repentance. And I think if you look at that comparison and contrast, it will be sufficient to motivate us to do what we can to share the message so that that joy may be felt in heaven and among us as well as a result of a successful effort to share that gospel message to the saving of a soul, of a single individual, a single soul. There is a song that we sang a bit earlier. I'd like you to turn to that. So you might turn in your songbook to number 237. And then after we look at that for just a moment, then we'll have the invitation and the invitation song. This is a favorite song of mine. It always has been. But I must confess that in times past, it was that I liked the sound of the song. I liked the music of that song. I've always enjoyed singing it. There is something very special about the sentiment that is expressed, especially in verses 1 and 3. So I want you to consider it again and read it very quickly with me. Brightly beams our Father's mercy from the lighthouse evermore. Now we recognize and understand the brightness of that expressed mercy of God in the sending of His Son, and it rightly is described and reckoned as a lighthouse, that great and bright beam that emanates from a lighthouse to light the ways of the ships. But he says in the second line, but to us it is God's beam from the lighthouse, but to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Our lights do not burn as brightly as does the mercy of God, but we have a light that we can shine in order to guide men along that right and proper way. So by contrast, we are dim, but the call is, let the lower lights be burning. That we, as the people of God, send a gleam across the way, because there may be some poor, fainting, struggling seaman. Same type of expression that is given in the lament that Jeremiah gave over the people of Israel, the lament that our Lord himself gave over rebellious Jerusalem, some poor, fainting, struggling seaman, that because our light is burning, may be rescued, may be saved. So the call in verse 3 to each and every one of us, trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Some poor seaman, tempest-tossed, trying now to make the harbor in the darkness, he may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning. Send a gleam across the wave. Some poor, fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue. You may save. May we all be motivated to share that gospel message to those who are in the world. It may be that you're here this evening and not a child of God. We want to share with you the message of the cross. And it indeed beams brightly over the waves, and it has that ability to, through that grace extended, to bring to you mercy from God, the hope of life eternal as your sins are taken away. If we can assist you to get your life right with God, I promise you there will be great joy to be found in this congregation on this evening, because you have made the decision to turn your life to the Lord. We hope and pray that you'll make the decision to do that. If you're not a child of God, through responding to the gospel call, repenting and being baptized, that your sins might be taken away. If as a child of God, because of some faltering, some discouragement, you are not as you should be, and you need to turn back to God, we will rejoice with you in your repentance if you'll take that step. The invitation is offered this evening. If you need to respond, please do so, and do so now, while together we stand, while we sing.